This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Author Kurt Vonnegut famously wrote, "Tigers gotta hunt, birds gotta fly. Man's gotta sit and wonder why, why?" And indeed, curiosity seems to be a fundamental part of what makes us tick. It's certainly part of what drives scientists to investigate the fundamental nature of the universe and everything in it. We even named a Mars rover for curiosity. But where does it come from? And do we all have the same kind or amount of curiosity? Are we really that much more curious than other animals? And what drives the inquisitive minds of people like Leonardo da Vinci, Richard Feynman, and others who can't seem to stop asking questions about everything they encounter? Astrophysicist Mario Livio is one of those kinds of folks, and he's been wondering about these questions and more, and he's written up his findings in a new book, and he's here to talk about it. Mario Livio is an astrophysicist and author of Why? What Makes Us Curious? Welcome back, Mario.
Thank you. Pleasure to be back.
Nice to have you. We have an excerpt from your book on our website at sciencefriday.com/why. And let me just tell our listeners, they can call on in with questions about curiosity, 844-724-8255. We'll ask them, what do they think makes you or people in general curious? What makes you curious? 844-724-8255, 844-SciTalk. And of course, you can always tweet us at SciFry. Asking why about curiosity, a bit meta, isn't it, Mario?
Yes. The main reason I, chose this particular word, why, is because this particular question is uniquely human. Other animals are curious, but only humans are, worried and curious about reasons and causes for things. Only humans really ask the question, why? So that's why, I chose this as the title.
Hmm. And in your book, you focus Leonardo da Vinci and Richard Feynman as examples of spectacular amounts of curiosity. What made you home in on those two?
Well, if you look at Leonardo da Vinci, I tried at first to determine, okay, what was he curious about? And basically what I discovered was that he was curious about everything. With a possible exception of politics, which, he lived at the time of the Borgias, so anybody who was interested in politics got killed. So it was very wise of him not to be curious about politics. He got funded by the Borgias, but he was really curious about almost everything else: human anatomy, flow of water, all kinds of machines, of course, painting and all that, all the arts, astronomy, you name it. He was curious about it.
Hmm. And Richard Feynman was well known for his curiosity and wrote books about it. He's been interviewed about talking about knowing. I don't understand why people don't want to know things.
That's right. He also once said that, at the basis of all scientific research, there is this curiosity of, wanting to know why things happen. He also said, everything is interesting if you go into it deeply enough.
Yeah. Is curiosity something that we're born with? You think some people are just more curious about stuff than others?
We definitely are born with it. There are many studies that have shown that there is a strong genetic component to curiosity. And it is also the case that some people are more curious than others, in the same way that, some people have talents for music and others don't. Some people are smarter than others, things of that nature. So, yes, some people are curious than others. But all people are curious, with, possible exception of people who are very, very deeply depressed or have certain kinds of brain damage.
Hmm. So you can actually see curiosity at work in the brain?
Yes, you can. We couldn't always. Some time ago we couldn't do that. But today you actually can take people and put them, through functional MRI, which images the brain. And it images the brain while you make the people curious about something. So, while it doesn't tell you everything, in fact, it tells you very little, it still does tell you which areas of the brain are activated when we are curious.
And are there different kinds of curiosity that you can tell from the brain?
That's right. So there is a curiosity that has been dubbed perceptual curiosity, which is what we feel when we see something that surprises us or, puzzles us, or it doesn't quite agree with what we knew, things like that. And that is felt as a sort of an uneasiness, an unpleasant situation, a bit like a scratch, an itch, sorry, you need to scratch. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there is what has been dubbed epistemic curiosity. That's our love of knowledge, wanting to learn new things, where our brain and our mind assigns value to this knowledge. So that is usually experienced as a pleasurable thing and with an anticipation of reward in the form of what we learn.
Uh-huh. When you study curiosity in the brain and you're scanning people's brains, what do you use to induce their curiosity?
So people have used different methods. So one, in order to induce perceptual curiosity, for example, that thing that is, you feel when you see something ambiguous, they have shown people blurred images of ordinary things, like a blurred images of a bus, let's say, and try to make them guess what that is before showing them a clear image. When you try to induce epistemic curiosity, this wanting to know things, they did that mostly by asking trivia questions, which musical instrument was invented to sound a bit like a human voice, let's say, which happens to be the violin, by the way. Mm-hmm. So these different techniques to induce different types of curiosity.
Mm. I know you, Richard Feynman is one of my favorite historical figures in science. I've read a lot of his stuff, and one of the things he talks about about being curious. And he has a debate with some of his artist friends. And I know in the book you talk about his artist friends. And he said, there's a difference between science and art in that as an artist, you may appreciate the color and texture of a flower. But as a scientist, not only can I appreciate the flower for its, obvious looks, but I also can appreciate it for how it works, because I've studied that part of how it works. I'm curious about that side also. And you wonder why, or if you're an artist, are you curious about that also?
So, Feynman brought this especially as a complaint in some sense against artists and writers who somehow, he felt, don't appreciate enough the beauty in science and in the fact that you know something about this. He basically said, the fact that I know some things about how the flower works and what the atoms do, that does not diminish my appreciation of the beauty of the colors. It only enhances it.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones, because lots of people want to talk about curiosity. Let's take our first call from Bill in Winchester, Virginia. Hi, Bill.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Way back in 1966, when I was a freshman majoring in chemistry, had a brilliant chemistry professor. In his very first lecture, he talked about the word why and how the word why had no place in science. Why was for philosophy and religion. Science was not about why, it was about how, H-O-W. What does your guest think?
I think that he's right in a certain sense. The thing is that we almost at this point have sort of confused the two words when we discuss science. I mean, you say, okay, why is the universe expanding? Or you can say, how is it expanding? And, there is room for the two questions. It is true that much of the time science deals with how.
Mm-hmm. If you're a very curious person, and a lot of friends who are very curious, you have to put up with ridicule sometimes. For example, I have a friend who's obsessed with construction cranes. We'll stop at a construction site. She'll just look at the cranes working, and people who are with her will say, "What are you looking at?" She says, "I just like the cranes. I like to watch them work." You're nuts. Don't you agree that you people are very curious about stuff? I know I like to stop on the side of the road and look at the rocks. They're just rocks. They're not moving anywhere.
Yes, that's true. But, it is true that different people are curious about different things. There is no doubt about that. And there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, you know, I would argue that you can always use the stuff that people are already curious about to actually drive them to other things that, you know, maybe you think are important for them to be curious about. An example I like to give is that, you know, most children are curious about dinosaurs. They want to hear everything you can tell them about dinosaurs. But, you know, then you can tell them, aha, but dinosaurs also became extinct because of an asteroid that hit mm-hmm. Earth. And then from that, you can get into, you know, the force of gravity. Why did the asteroid hit Earth? Things that maybe originally they weren't that curious about, but you made them curious about through the curiosity they already had.
Well, that brings the age-old question. First, let me remind everybody, I'm talking with Mario Livio, author of Why, What Makes Us Curious. And that is, what happens to kids? They, as you say, they're born sort of scientists. They're curious and want to explore everything. What happens when they grow up?
So what happens is the following. Small children are, they really want to understand cause and effect very early on. I mean, they somehow grasp that every effect is related to some cause. And they want to understand those relations because that helps them really to cope with their environment and to, you know, make fewer errors in their everyday lives. What happens is when we grow up, it's not that we are not curious anymore, but our curiosity somewhat changes from the type that I called perceptual or diversive, which is, you know, being interested in many things and willingness to take risks even for novelty, more towards the epistemic curiosity, the love of knowledge. So the love of knowledge stays with us actually throughout every time. I mean, mm-hmm. all ages. I mean, even when you're very old, people still are what somebody called infovores, want to devour information. It's just that, you know, that willingness to take risks for novelty is definitely declining.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Carmen in Clear Lake City, Texas. Hi, Carmen.
Hello. My question is there an evolutionary purpose to curiosity?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course there is. I mean, you know, people had to be curious about what happens around them, or, you know, or they just wouldn't know to survive. You know, people also had to know what happens when you walk off a cliff, because if you do that too often, I mean, it's not going to have a good ending.
That's self-selecting, so, that evolution.
Right. So curiosity for sure evolved because of evolutionary pressure. The interesting thing, and, you know, one of the things that we still don't even have, I mean, all the researchers still don't have an answer to, is that we as humans seem to be much more curious than what is, you know, just necessary for survival. You know, understanding quantum mechanics is very important for advances in physics, and one day surely becomes very, very applicable. But when it starts as a basic curiosity and not one that has immediate applications. Mm. I mean, all science at the end, you know, I mean, I like this phrase which says there is applied research and not yet applied research. All research eventually becomes applied.
Talking with Mario Livio, author of Why, What Makes Us Curious, on Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Number 844-724-8255. Let's go back to the phones because people are curious. Hi, let's go to Megan in Alexandria, Virginia. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just have two quick comments. One, I have insatiable curiosity, and I blame it on the fact that when I was born, lightning struck, and my mom went into labor, and I came out asking, "What in the Sam Hill was that?" You know. So I've always been curious. But really, when I was in college, I was studying to become a physicist, and I had to give that up because I kept asking, "Why and how is the math the way it is?" So curiosity became a detriment in a way. But I understand the mechanics of physics, but the math just really got me.
Mario, give her some advice.
Yes, I mean, you know, unfortunately, not everybody is talented at mathematics in the same way that not everybody is talented in composing music like Mozart. I think that to some extent this is associated also with the type of education or teaching that you had at the lower levels of school, because very often things we are really interested in or try to be curious about are affected by the quality of our teachers. So, you know, maybe in your case, you just weren't fortunate enough to have a very good math teacher in high school or even elementary school.
Well, in my case, sometimes I'm just not smart enough. You know, but it doesn't make me less curious, and it doesn't stop me from trying to find out.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there may be an inability to understand certain concepts, but curiosity can be so strong, right, that you just keep you keep plugging away at it.
Well, look, let me go back to Leonardo. Leonardo was very weak in mathematics. And that, you know, didn't stop him from being the genius that he was. Feynman, on the other hand, in spite of the fact that he studied art and studied drawing in particular, he became, you know, a decent drawer or draftsperson, but he was never Leonardo when it came to art. So, you know, we have different talents.
Mm-hmm. Does it help you cope with the world at all, being a curious person?
Oh, absolutely. In many, many ways. I mean, one thing which I in particular advertise in the book, and which I coined even a phrase for this, although I discovered later that I'm not the first to have thought of that, which is curiosity is the best remedy for fear. And I strongly believe in that. You see, very often we are afraid of things that we don't know much about or we don't understand. And if we become curious about them and learn more about them, then we are much less afraid.
Interesting. We're going to take a break, come back, and finish up talking with Mario Livio. Why? What makes us curious? His new book. You will be curious to read it. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking about curiosity, why we possess it, maybe how to foster it, with the astrophysicist and author Mario Livio. His new book is Why? What Makes Us Curious? It was out this summer. And before the break, we were talking about curiosity and fear. And let me pick up on that theme, because there are a few phone calls and tweets about that. Let me take a phone call from Joshua in Alexandria, Virginia. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. To follow up on his last point, I was curious if you think the purpose of curiosity is actually to control our feelings of anxiety and kind of ultimately our fear of death. You had said that it seems like we have an almost outsized curiosity that goes beyond our needs for safety. But I'm wondering if you think that reflects our bottomless well of anxiety over life in general, maybe.
Hmm.
I think that surely there is a component of that, but it surely cannot, you know, relieve all of our anxiety, because, for example, that perceptual curiosity, that thing that feels like an itch we need to scratch, in itself generates a certain amount of anxiety. It's a different type of anxiety, but still some anxiety in the sense that, you know, think about this when you're trying to remember who was the author who wrote, you know, The Old Man and the Sea. And sometimes that can really bother you for a few hours. Of course, today we can address that very quickly using Google. But it's so it then generates its own some type of anxiety. But I agree with you that it can definitely relieve the type of anxiety that we feel because of things are unknown or misunderstood.
But there's also the dark side to curiosity. For example, many people have tweeted, Sydney's tweeted, did it really kill the cat? I mean, you're associating it with something not to do. Don't do it, right?
Yes. I am very much against that that particular phrase. And it also, by the way, has a rejoinder, which is, but satisfaction brought it back. So
Schrodinger's cat. Must have.
So the thing is, you see, if you look throughout history, there have been entire periods where either oppressive regimes or various types of ideologies try to build walls around certain types of knowledge and say, okay, you shouldn't be curious about that because this is not good for you. I very much object to that. I think that we should be curious. Of course, there are things that, you know, there is a sort of bad side of curiosity, which is, you know, you shouldn't eavesdrop on, you know, what your neighbors are talking or things of that, or the NSA shouldn't listen on our phone calls. I'm talking about the good type of curiosity, the one that, you know, teaches you, the love of knowledge, all that type of stuff. And for that, we should object to the attempts even to try to suppress our curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can take a call or two in here. Let's go to Julia in Orlando. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hi. I'm calling to ask whether greater access to information has somehow affected curiosity, where in the olden days we'd have to go find the answer to something in the Encyclopedia Britannica or call the library or something, and now we can answer our questions in a moment by using Google or another search.
That's a great question. Great question. Very.
Yeah, it's an important one too, because it's really a cultural change. So there is one type of curiosity that I haven't mentioned yet, which is specific curiosity. That is, you know, when you need a very specific piece of information, you know, like who said we're all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars, which happens to be Oscar Wilde. So to answer those questions, the internet is, of course, fantastic, and it relieves us of that specific type of curiosity very, very quickly. However, please note that, you know, what we do when we do scientific research or big artistic projects, we're trying to look for answers for questions to which we don't know the answers yet. And that means that we cannot find those answers on the internet. So what I think happened is that the technology has allowed us to get rid of those immediate specific curiosity types of things, but it still allows us to continue to be epistemically very, very curious.
Do you feel sorry for people who are not really very curious like you are?
I don't know if I feel sorry for them, because, I mean, different people have different types of qualities.
But there's an enjoyment. I mean, I can hear in your voice, and I know in my own life, there's an enjoyment about being curious that people may not
agree.
Share.
I mean, I agree. But as I said, most people are curious about something. I mean, their level of curiosity may be somewhat different. But, you gave that story about your friend of yours that she's very interested in cranes and things. So, you know, she may be extremely curious about cranes. So, you know, you don't find that particularly interesting, but obviously she does.
Yeah, well, somebody else might be extremely curious about Nietzsche or some, you know, a philosopher or something like that. And I don't find that interesting, but I find it's interesting that you may be curious, that it's good to be curious about something.
I agree.
You know, I because I'm very curious about stuff. I can understand other people being geeky about other things that I'm not geeky about, you know, but I understand where they're coming from.
Look, the only reason I ended up, you know, doing all this research on curiosity and writing this book is because I became extremely curious about curiosity and how it works.
Well, and it's a great book. Like all your books, Mario, I want to recommend it to everybody. It's called Why? What Makes Us Curious? By great astrophysicist and a great popularizer of science, Mario Livio. And you can read an excerpt from his book on our website at sciencefriday.com/why. Thank you, Mario. Thanks for taking
time.
It's always fun, as always. We'll have you
back.
My
pleasure.
You're welcome.